NFL Week 3. Interception spree as Fitzpatrick is tragic, as KC revel in glee. Meanwhile, Belichick spell casts Houston hell, whilst the Panthers say yikes as they're crushed by the Vikes. Up in Green Bay, old A-Rodge is back, picking up the slack, giving Justin's heartthrob, Jim Bob, a whack. And oh dear, the fish are nearly squished, but the Browns go down, with an eye wearing the touchdown crown. All of that and more in this next Fan Up Power Rankings. Justin, let's do this.
Listen. Hello? We go out, we hit people in the mouth.
You play to win the game.
Next Fan Up.
I want winners.
Featuring Pod Vader and the Superfans.
But they are who we thought they were.
Hey, Justin, how you doing, man? We're ready for this first Next Fan Up Power Rankings show. You're the Seattle Superfan. I'm Neil, the Washington Redskins Superfan. And clearly two of the great NFL franchises who... And we're well positioned to be doing these power rankings because one of us is near the top and one of us is near the bottom.
Neil, I am very, very excited about this, the first of many. Hopefully the my team is near the top. Otherwise, I will start the calls of Homer immediately.
Yes, I think even I couldn't do that to you, Justin. I'm sorry. I think Washington is squarely towards the bottom. Anyway, look, Justin. I think we should do three tiers here. Do a little bit differently from what you hear on other podcasts. I think we should look at maybe the top 12, and we'll call them the contenders. Then we'll have 13 to 22, and we won't spend much time on them because they are really the pretenders, the teams who are neither up nor down and could be 12th, 13th, could be 22nd, 23rd. And then finally, we'll spend a bit more time looking at the dead enders, if you like. The team is right at the bottom of the rankings, and the teams who have got a long way to go.
Sounds like a plan, Neil. Where should we start?
Well, let's start at number 32. And number 32, Justin, I'm sure you're not going to be surprised to hear that it's the Cleveland
Whoa.
Browns.
Whoa. I almost flew to Scotland to have a conversation with you about that.
We've got the Cleveland Browns at number 32. No surprise. They're 0-3. They are, well, I'm going to say something positive about the Browns because the one thing you see when you watch the Browns is they have got some fight in them. There are other teams in this bottom section of the rankings who don't have any fight in them, I don't think, really. But the Browns, hey, they might not have the greatest talent, but they have got some fight.
Yeah, I think they have by far the worst roster in the league. By far, I don't think it's close. But Hugh Jackson is a good coach. He's got them playing well. They play everybody tough. I think that, as crazy as it sounds, Hugh Jackson, to me, is sort of in that conversation for Coach of the Year for keeping it close with what is not even close to an NFL-caliber roster.
Yeah, I think you're spot on there. They are not good, but they are coached well all around. Up at number 31, I'm afraid it's the Jacksonville Jaguars, Justin, because what has happened to the Jaguars? They've got more first-round picks in there than probably the NFC East put together, and yet what are they doing? Dante Fowler back this year, 10 tackles, 2 sacks. He's supposed to be the pass rush guy. I don't know what's happening there, and I'm sniffing a London coaching change.
Yeah, this one hurts me. This was a team I thought was going to be really good this year. I think I picked them to win every week so far, so I'm sure you can imagine how my pick 'em is going so far. Gus Bradley, their head coach, former Seahawks defensive coordinator, they've got so much talent in terms of draft pedigree on the defensive side of the ball. The offense should be absolutely loaded, but they're not doing anything. I'm just about ready to quit them.
Yeah, I'm right there with you. Bortles, oof, he's on a slippery slope. And as for Miles Jack, great player coming out. Okay, he was injured, had the knee injury, but he's got 2 tackles. Is he just not getting on the field?
That is only 2 more tackles than me.
Yeah. Absolutely. It's depressing stuff for Jacksonville because they're down there again after, well, they've been down there every year for, the last 4 or 5 years, maybe longer. Anyway, Moving on from that dismal mess, we can get up to Chicago. And I'm really sorry, Chicago Tom, but we've got Chicago at number 30. And it's no wonder when you've got the 28th rushing attack and the 21st passing attack. Injured quarterback, they've got the Hoyer and Barkley super combination, but it's not working for them at the moment. What's going wrong, Justin?
Yeah, you know, I was talking to Tom last night on the podcast, and I don't think he'll disagree with your ranking. This is a team that I had some hopes for, you know, if Cutler could continue to be the better version of Cutler, if Kevin White came on strong, Alshon Jeffrey kept doing what he was doing. But I think the loss of Matt Forte is way more significant than anybody realized. Jeremy Langford, who we thought would pick up the slack, not even coming close to doing it. Meanwhile, Forte is flourishing with the New York Jets. In addition, the loss of Adam Gase, the offensive coordinator, seems to have really knocked them down a peg. Obviously, having Brian Hoyer is not the answer, unless the question is, what can we do to try and lose a lot of games? But this is a team that not only are they not good right now, I don't feel like they're on a path that's leading to improvement.
Yeah, no, I'd agree with you there. I think last night on the podcast, which is available on iTunes, it was terrific. I think Tom was saying that even Langford's about to lose his job as number one running back, and that's a bit of a surprise, I would have thought, going into the season. Okay, up at 29, I have the Indianapolis Colts, and although they scored on that exciting 70-odd yarder last night to win the game against San Diego, I am not impressed. And I'll give you a little stat here, Justin, because it's difficult to find anything positive about the Colts, but I can tell you this. They're lucky that Luck is still upright, because he's been sacked 124 times in his 58 career games. He's averaging 3 sacks per game this season. How long is he going to survive? I'll give you over under 5.5 more games.
Yeah, I'm not going to take that bet. I do not feel confident he's going to make it all the way through the year. You know, this is probably the worst offensive line he's had in the time he's been in Indianapolis, and that's saying something. They've had some bad ones. He holds on to the ball for a while. You know, he's looking to pick up chunk yardage, so I don't necessarily blame him for holding on to it. You know, that's his skill set, and that's what his system is built around. I'm not going to quibble too much about the exact rank, but coming off of a win against a better team, I feel like they could maybe be a bit higher here. But, you know, I've been saying all offseason that I don't think Indy's a good team. I'm not going to get into my Andrew Luck tirade because we've heard that enough times. I certainly don't think he is going to drag this team kicking and screaming to the promised land. But here's another team where I don't feel like they've gotten any better from last year.
Okay, don't want to, you know, obviously stick on these teams for too long, Justin, but I'll give you a scenario. Andrew Luck plays behind the Dallas Cowboys offensive line. Will you have a higher opinion of Andrew Luck there?
No, my opinion of him wouldn't change, but I think he would be doing at least as good, if not better, than Dak Prescott, which shows you how important that portion of your offense is for your quarterback's performance.
Yeah, can't disagree with you there. Okay, moving on to number 28, and it's the San Francisco 49ers, and I just have a feeling that San Francisco are going to start tailing off now. We may have seen the best of them. We know historically that Chip Kelly's defenses tend to fall apart as the season goes along, and what are we looking at? We're looking at a team with the 30th ranked passing attack currently, and yeah, that's not going to hold up in the NFL these days. Give me something positive out of San Francisco.
Carlos Hyde is still a good player. Navarro Bowman is looking back to being himself now that we're, I think, 3 years removed from that really bad knee injury. Ahmad Brooks is a good player. I mean, for me, it's tough. You know, I don't see much hope on their offense. Their quarterback is Blaine Gabbert. That should tell you a lot. They don't have any weapons for him outside of, again, Carlos Hyde, who's a pretty good player. So this Chip Kelly offense, put that in quotes, they're not going to be able to get out of the starting blocks hardly at all. I don't think that they just have the personnel to run it. The defense is better than what Chip Kelly inherited in Philadelphia, so I think that if he can figure out the offense, that they could maybe be okay, but they just don't have the pieces there.
I'm a flexible man, Justin, as you know. A moment ago, you told me you'd have Indianapolis a little bit higher. So put Indianapolis against San Francisco here in Scotland on a cold Wednesday night. Who wins?
Give me Indianapolis in that game.
Okay. I may be tempted to move them up a slot. Here we go. Number 27, we've got the Tennessee Titans doing well running the ball with Henry and with Murray, the ex-Dallas running back. But Tennessee, Mariota, what's happening? Is it coaching, Justin?
I think it's more so that now that he's got a full year's worth of tape on him, people are seeing what he does well, what he likes to do, and they're adjusting to him. You see this a lot. You know, quarterback comes in, he has a good stretch of games, maybe a good year, and then people figure out what his skill set is, and they take that away. The question becomes, can he then make the necessary adjustments to sort of exploit that? And that's what separates, you know, kind of a short stretch, pretty good quarterback from somebody who has a really long, productive career. I remember seeing people do that here in Seattle. You know, they started taking away the kind of backyard-style football from Russell Wilson, took away his ability to run as much. And he had a couple-game stretch where he had to sort of reinvent himself more of a pocket passer. But he was able to make that adjustment, and here he is. So that's really what it comes down to for him, I think. He's a very, very smart guy, a very hard worker. I believe he can make those adjustments. I believe that, you know, after a few weeks, he'll figure out what they're doing, and he'll be able to come on stronger. So I'm not real worried about him. The rest of Tennessee, I'll be honest, this might be the most blah team in the NFL. They're not an absolute garbage dumpster fire like the teams at the bottom. They're not a good team. Usually, you know, when we put a show together and we're, like, tagging all the teams at the bottom, I always end up with 31, and I can never think of that last team because it's Tennessee, and it never occurs to me that they're even in the NFL.
Yeah, no, I think that's a general feeling of most people, certainly the superfans. Whoa, and if there's a superfan potential Tennessee guy out there, we're looking for you. So hit us up on email at nextfanup.gmail, is that right?
Justin? Yeah, that's nextfanup@gmail.com.
There we go. Exactly what I said. I would say I went into the season thinking, wow, I'm going to love Mariota this year. He's going to look terrific. And I do wonder a little bit, Justin, I worry for him because they have got the seventh-ranked rushing attack in the NFL, and it looks pretty good, that running game, and you think that would be helping Mariota. So let's see, like you say, next few weeks, if he can crack the code for that. Up at number 26, we've got the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, and I watched quite a bit of this game last night against the Rams, and oh my goodness, that Tampa Bay offensive line, it's not looking good for Jameis Winston, and it's hard to see, apart from the Winston to Evans wide receiver combination, it's hard to see anything really positive in Tennessee in Tampa Bay. Give me something, apart from the weather.
Well, I still think that Jameis Winston looks like he's going to be a very, very good quarterback as well. I think that Winston and Mariota, we're going to kind of talk about them for the next 15 years because I think they're both going to be good players. In this particular game, the Rams' defensive line, keep in mind, is incredibly fierce. Even if you have a good offensive line, they're going to make them look bad. Aaron Donald in particular, absolute beast. They're probably in the top three or four defensive lines in all of football. So I wouldn't worry too much about that. I think that as long as Winston continues to develop, he and Evans are going to be together for a very, very long time. Then it's just putting the pieces around him.
Yep, and of course they lost, or they cut Seferian Jenkins, their tight end this week, after an arrest. So some work to do for Tampa Bay. So, Justin, I'm afraid our super fan from Miami is not going to be very happy with me because he said I was going to be sticking pins in his Neil Gall. Because I've got Miami at number 25. And I have to ask you, Justin, who are the Miami Dolphins? We see one great play, and you think, whoa, playoff team. We see another two or three plays following that, and it's like, whoa, this is Cleveland in disguise.
Yeah, I'm having such a hard time figuring them out. That defensive line, just like the Rams, is really, really good. You know, they've probably got the most star power amongst any defensive line in the NFL. The rest of their defense isn't very good, though, so that matchup game comes into play. If they play a team with a so-so offensive line like my Seahawks, they look like a great defense. But if their offensive line can hold up, then their linebackers and corners can just be shredded. So they're going to be very up and down. In addition, on offense, I still can't figure Ryan Tannehill out. Sometimes he looks like he's good, like he's developing. Sometimes he looks like an absolute disaster out there. My hope was that Adam Gase could get him figured out. Maybe he still can, but I'll be honest. Like, to me, if Ryan Tannehill doesn't put it together this year, I am officially done with him.
Yeah, this is his make-or-break season. If Gase can't fix him, who can? Right, right, Justin. Here we go. We've got a 2-1 team, the LA Rams, at number 24. And I feel the LA Rams are a little bit like my lawn outside in the garden. If I leave it for a little while, then it goes lovely and green. A few daisies spring up here and there. Looks lovely and healthy, very promising. And then all of a sudden, Jeff Fisher comes along with his trimmer and his lawnmower, and he wipes the whole lot out. And this is who I feel the Rams are. They're a team hindered by their coach. Okay, they're 2-1, but I am not buying them. Okay, yeah, the defensive line, I'm with you there. It's very, very, very good. But otherwise, poor, goodness me, offense. It's just a mess.
Yeah, I'm not sure how they ended up in like a shootout scenario this week with the Buccaneers, but they managed to pull it off. They don't really have a lot in the way of good players. I mean, Todd Gurley is, you know, I'm not sure if regress is the right word because he only played a chunk of last year, but he was so, so dominant last year, and he has not been able to get out of the starting blocks this year. You know, Case Keenum, not an NFL starting quarterback. He's just not. Tavon Austin's playing a little bit better, but other than that, I don't see any, you know, even league average players on that offense for the most part.
Yep, I totally agree with you, and I think your daughter is in total agreement. She's not happy with this Rams team, I can tell you right now. At number 23, Justin, we have the Detroit Lions, and a team for me a little bit similar to Miami. They seem to be very good for a few moments, and then boom, back to the Detroit we know and love and making a total mess. I'm also worried about the injury to Ziggy Ansah. He missed this week's game. I think he's going to miss some more games. He is the best player by a mile, and possibly, and wait for it, I know you're a big Bennett fan, but this guy might be the best defensive end in the NFL.
Yeah, I'm definitely Team Bennett on that one. Yeah, they're almost like a better version of Miami, you know,
yeah,
where we can't
exactly.
quite figure them out. But, you know, I still believe in that offense. I think that Jim Bob Cooter system, in Cooter we trust. I think that offensively they're continuing to play well week in and week out. Matthew Stafford in particular. He's doing such a nice job spreading the ball around. I think that as long as their defense can play pretty well, and they need Ziggy for it, as long as they can play pretty well, I think they can be a middle-of-the-road team. You know, I would have them borderline into that next tier, where those ones that are kind of in that no-man's land. I think they're a little bit better than a bottom feeder.
Okay. Well, they'll have a chance next week to prove you right and me wrong. Okay, the next tier, Justin, from number 22 up to 13. I'm just going to read them out very quickly, and I would just like a one sentence from you on what these teams need to do to get up into the contender area, okay?
Let's do this.
All right. 22, Washington.
Kirk Cousins needs to go back to last year's version.
Okay, and I would hit you back with that by saying, currently, Washington has the number one passing offense in the league, but overall, I couldn't disagree with you. It's the defense that's the problem. Number 21.
Wait, no. I'm going to stop you right there. So when you say number one passing offense in the league, I'm going to assume that what you mean is they have the most passing yards in the league so far. Is that what you mean?
I'm not going to confuse this conversation with facts, Justin.
Because you know, there's been plenty of like garbage time catch up yardage. There have been way too many interceptions. So just because they have the most yards doesn't mean that their passing attack is playing the best. The passing attack from last year probably on a per game average threw fewer yards, but that Kirk Cousins was much more decisive, making better throws, definitely fewer touchdowns. They need that guy back, not the guy who's throwing for just a bunch of yards.
Justin, you're absolutely right. I'm just searching through any internet football site I can for anything positive about Washington, and Pro Football Reference came to my rescue. So let's move on from the number one passing offense in the league to number 21, and that's the New Orleans Saints. And yeah, we've only played two games, New Orleans, Justin, but what are you seeing?
Yeah, I would say the New Orleans Saints are the best 0-3 team I know of, if that's like something. I think that offense is really, really potent. I think that offense can go toe-to-toe with anybody. The defense is better than it was last year, and it still might be the worst unit or in the conversation, but it is improved over last year. You saw that they were able to kind of contain the Giants, who I think have a terrific offense as well. They managed to make the greatest addition with the subtraction of the Rob Ryan defense. So I think that this is a team that if they can get their defense to get into their kind of their new defensive scheme and kind of start playing that by midway through the season, then by the end they could be, you know, upper league average team, let's say, although I still think they're ways away from a contender. But they don't have to have a great defense. If they have a middle-of-the-road defense, as long as they have Drew Brees, they can beat anybody.
True. And I assume that as you call them an 0-3 team, you've already made your prediction for tonight's game, which is bad news for New Orleans, Justin.
I don't know.
Number 20, Buffalo Bills. In a sentence, Justin, what can they do to get up into the upper echelons of these rankings?
Man, find some kind of miracle cure to bring back all these players from injury. I think that the Buffalo Bills, you know, as we were looking out a month and a half from the start of the season, I thought, yeah, you know, maybe they've got something here a little bit. But then they started losing players left and right. As I may have alluded to, I'm perhaps not the biggest Rob Ryan fan, their defensive coordinator. I think that perhaps there may be some better stuff there. So as long as they don't get Rob Ryan too much on defense, and they can get some players back healthy, they can move up. But that's not going to happen.
No, I agree with you. I think they'll be hot and cold all season, and probably more cold than hot. Number 19, I've got a 3-0 team here, Justin. Baltimore Ravens. Convince me that I should have them higher.
They are undefeated.
Okay, who have they beaten?
The Cleveland Browns.
Cleveland Browns, wow.
I don't remember the rest. So probably shows you how impressive those victories are. But, okay, you know, I don't want to spend a ton of time on it. But this is one in the offseason. I thought they were better than people expected. I think that, you know, they were hit by the injury bug worse than anybody had almost ever seen last year. And so they get all these players back. In addition, the addition of Mike Wallace has gone exactly how I've expected. He's the perfect weapon for Flacco's big arm. Steve Smith is incredible. He continues to be super productive despite the fact that he's almost as old as you are. So I think they're okay.
I think Steve Smith has a couple of years on me, but not many more than a couple of years. He certainly just an incredible athlete, you know. And Baltimore, I wasn't big on them at all this season, but you can only beat what's in front of you, so go ahead and do it, you know. But it's difficult. It really is difficult to see the Ravens. I thought they should have lost this week. I really do. Who knows? They have managed to beat Buffalo, I think. They've beaten Buffalo, Cleveland, and Jacksonville. And I'm not sure that's a great lineup of teams, really, for them to have beaten. They beat Buffalo by, what, 6 points? 5 points over Cleveland and 2 points over Jacksonville. So, no. Let's see. They're playing Oakland and they're playing Washington. So, two super tough games coming up for them. Moving on to number 18 in the power rankings, Justin, we've got the San Diego Chargers, one of my boys from the offseason. Not quite living up to it, but they have lost players. But I'm seeing Kelvin Benjamin. He looks like a decent player.
Yeah, the Chargers, another team hard for me to figure out. They look so good at the start, then they lost, then they won. So, I don't know.
Yeah. Number 17, we have the New York Jets. 1-2 on the season, but after one of the all-time great meltdowns in this past week, Kansas City Chiefs fan Nick, he still has yet to return to Earth after that fantastic game for them last night. I'm not sure. Fitzpatrick, oosh, that was horrible. Where are they going to get anything to move up these rankings?
Yeah, they're the kind of the patron saints of mediocre right now. Pretty good defense, got some weapons on offense. Brandon Marshall, apparently he's immortal. I saw his knee bend into five wrong directions a couple of games ago, and he's still fine. But, yeah, just as mediocre as mediocre gets.
And then we have number 16, the second team playing in the Monday Night Football game, the Atlanta Falcons. And a team I'm not a big fan of, Matty Icepick, but we'll see. He played quite well against Oakland last week. Seeing some signs there that they could maybe get up the rankings if they can find a pass rush.
Yeah, this is a team with a couple of stars and then a whole bunch of scrubs. If they can get a little bit of depth, they could move up.
We'll get to another team, well, right towards the end of these rankings, Justin, who got a linebacker in the draft the year before last, along with Atlanta. The Atlanta got Beasley, and he's really showing nothing, is he?
Yeah, he would be in the scrubs category.
Yeah, absolutely. And then we've got the New York Giants at number 15. I thought they threw the game away against Washington. They probably should have won that game, but they didn't. Three turnovers. You can't do that against any team in the league, really. Just ask the New York Jets. But yeah, the Giants looking up, looking down.
They're almost kind of who we thought they were. Here's the thing with the New York Giants. Look at their schedule. You're going to say, all right, they're going to go 8-8. But what's going to happen is they're going to lose the 8 games you thought they were going to win and win the 8 games you thought they were going to lose. Welcome to the New York Giants.
Were you a fan of the Olivier Vernon signing in the offseason free agency period?
No, not at all. I thought that Olivier Vernon is a good player, but he benefited tremendously from the other players who were on the defensive line in Miami. And I don't feel like that. Yeah, exactly. And I don't feel like, even with JPP there, that they've got the same kind of weaponry to keep him clean. I think, you know, drawing two-on-ones is going to kind of ruin him.
I watched him quite extensively last night, and I thought Pierre-Paul actually played quite well. Vernon, I thought he looked a bit, yeah, middle of the road. Nothing special there. Although he was going up against Trent Williams for a considerable part of the game. Anyway, moving on from the Giants up to number 14, and we have the Houston Texans. Now, who are Houston Texans? Are they the team that went 2-0, or are they the team that were absolutely embarrassed last week on Thursday Night Football? And they really were embarrassed.
Yeah, they were very, very much embarrassed. It's hard for me to read them, too. I was officially a believer after game two. I was like, they're going to go. They're going to beat up that diminished Patriots team, and it's going to be awesome. Instead, they were absolutely obliterated. But I don't know if it's because the talent's not there and the coaching's not there. If you look, anytime like old Bill Belichick coordinators become head coaches, they pretty much always get absolutely destroyed by Bill Belichick when they play him. Not just beaten, I mean destroyed. So I don't know if he like secretly teaches them like the certain philosophy that he knows how to exploit or what. I wouldn't put it past him.
How often, Justin, do you hear NFL commentators say, oh yeah, but the coach knows Bill Belichick's system? But you never actually hear, oh, by the way, Belichick knows the coordinator's system equally as well, if not better. So yes, I can understand it can't be easy playing Bill Belichick, and well, they're going to be quite high up on these rankings, I believe. Anyway, moving up to number 13, and please, very quickly, Dallas Cowboys, number 13, rising or falling?
I think they're as good as they're going to look all year. I think that we're going to start to see them turn down a little bit.
Yep, I would agree. Prescott's looked good, but he's playing a very safe game, not doing a lot deep and not taking many chances. But Elliott looked better, didn't he, this week, so... we'll see. But like you say, that they should get some players back from injury. From suspension, not injury. And after week four, so let's see what they do. Right, Justin, here we go. This is the top 12. And this is where your vast NFL experience will be on show. So, number 12, we've got the Cincinnati Bengals. 1-2 on the season. And right on the edge of the contenders list. I heard you on the pod last night speaking about them. And I think you're right. Every time there's a big game, they tend to disappear, don't they?
Yeah, and I don't know what that is about them. And that's always been that way, going back to even the early 2000s with head coach Marvin Lewis. I mean, this is a team that on any given week can field one of the best rosters in the entire NFL, especially these last couple of years, and they can beat anybody. But more often than not, if you put them under the bright lights on a primetime game, taking on the defending Super Bowl champions in the playoffs, they don't just lose, they get beat. And that's exactly what happened this week. So I think they're going to be the best team that is not a contender.
Okay, I couldn't agree with you more. I think you're spot on there. Do you think 12 is about the right spot for them, or would you have them a little bit lower even? Maybe below Dallas, maybe below Houston?
No, because I don't see those teams as contenders either at this point. They are the gatekeeper, right? They are the line. If you can get above the line, you're a contender. If you're below the line, you're not. And I think they're right in the correct spot.
Okay, so Cincinnati fans, get on Twitter and tell us why we're wrong. Number 11, I've got the Arizona Cardinals at number 11. And Justin, they're a bit like when we spoke about Detroit and Miami. You look at Arizona, you see the talent, and you think, what is going wrong there? Supposed to have the best running back in the league, and they couldn't stop the run the other night. It was a weird performance.
Yeah, I mean, as far as the running back goes, I think David Johnson is doing his part just fine. He's certainly not the problem. I mean, all offseason, I predicted this. I've been calling for this since the end of last year, and I don't think it's just me being, you know, a division rival. I think that if you take a team whose most important players are all old, another year removed from that, in addition, coming off of a really, really brutal playoff loss, Carson Palmer in particular has not been very good this year, and I thought he wouldn't be. You know, in his career, he's struggled in those key moments coming off those big games, and he's shown a propensity to get shell-shocked, and I think that's exactly where he is right now. It doesn't surprise me that they were able to blow the Buccaneers out of the water, but you put them against a team that can put any sort of pressure on them, and so far they're wilting. They could still get right. They could still figure their stuff out. But at least right now, this is a team with a top two or three roster and like a bottom third of the league mentality.
Yep, I would agree with you entirely. It's a worry to see them just not being able to do anything in the clutch moments in games. And shell-shocked, I think, may well be a very apt word you've got there, Justin. Number 10, I've got the Green Bay Packers. Yes, Rodgers had a good game, and the Rodgers-Nelson combination looked pretty good at the weekend. But I didn't like the way they took the foot off the pedal second half, and let's face it, a well-beaten Detroit team back in the game. Who are the Packers? Are they the top team in the NFL who can beat anybody, or are they a little bit not quite as good as advertised?
Yes. both. I think that when they play, you know, when things are working and clicking, they are absolutely elite on the offensive side of the ball and have a much better defense than people realize. When things aren't clicking, though, and they've been out of sync for, I'm going to say, a season and a half now, they're very, very vulnerable. You know, they're that team, though, like, as long as they can get to the playoffs, they can get hot and win the whole thing. So I think that as much as they like to be the number one seed, all that, and they've got a pretty easy schedule, I mean, you know, their primary job really is just get to the tournament and then see what you can do there.
Absolutely. And Green Bay fans out there, if you think Justin and I are wrong, then you can tweet us at NextFanUp. And, well, you can tell Justin why he's wrong. The rest of us do. Number 9 on this list, we've got the Carolina Panthers, and I dropped Carolina, you know, in my rankings all season so far. I've had them up there really in the top two or three, but now they're down to number 9 because of one thing really for me, and that is I worry without Jonathan Stewart if Cam Newton can do his dual purpose role as well. Stewart's a real threat. I'm not sure Fozzie Whitaker and Artis Payne they have as well can actually do that job and take the pressure off Newton. Concerns there for me with Carolina.
Yeah, Carolina is just like the Arizona Cardinals to me. You know, I think a lot of people had these as, you know, top two or three teams in the league. A lot of them had both these teams at number one. But for me, it really, coming off that Super Bowl loss, I think that they were going to have some mental challenges getting things wrapped around. I think that expecting people to recreate career years is a lot to ask for. Everybody assumed that, oh, you know, to take that offense at Kelvin Benjamin, they're going to be unstoppable. That's not really how football works. So this is a team that, again, from a talent standpoint, has one of the best rosters in the league. But, again, just mentally, I don't think that they're ready to overcome that big Super Bowl loss.
Yeah, I think you're right. A bit like the Arizona Cardinals. Let's see how they perform over the next few weeks. Number 8, rising way up the board, I think, the Oakland Raiders. At 2-1 on the season, defense is a concern. Khalil Mack, has he turned up this season yet, or is he still somewhere on holiday? I haven't seen much of him. That would be a concern. But offensively, yeah, they look okay. And they did get a good road win at the weekend. So up to number 8, the Oakland Raiders. And yeah, not too bad.
Yeah, except your ranking of them is bad. They're not the 8th best team in the league, not even close. You got them way too
okay.
high. I mean,
all right,
you know, look.
Well, give me a number.
I would maybe move them down 2 spots, right? Bring them in at number 10, right? Like the ones just on the edge of that top 10. I mean, look at what they've done this year. They haven't really beat any incredibly impressive teams. Their defense has been way worse than we expected, especially on the defensive line. Although, like, one of my preseason observations was their defense looked soft, and that's proven to be the case so far. So I think that this is a team that they've got a good young core, but, you know, our buddy Greg, the Steelers superfan, has been saying all offseason that they may be a year away, and I think that might be the case.
Yes, I agree with you. I think it probably is a year away. I also worry about the depth on this roster. I think, like you say, a nucleus of very, very good players. I do wonder about their depth if they start getting a few injuries. Okay, Justin, you wanted to put them in number 10, which would mean they would be dropping below Carolina and Green Bay. So we've just arranged a couple of games here, back-to-back weeks here in Scotland. Give me Oakland against Carolina.
Yeah, I think pretty much everybody would take Carolina in that matchup.
Okay, and Oakland against Green Bay.
Give me Green Bay in that matchup.
Okay. And just to complete the circle, really, number 11 is Arizona. So would you have Oakland over Arizona?
I might take Oakland there. But so yeah, that to me is hard.
Yeah, but that puts them in the same bracket as Arizona. So your reticence there probably suggests that that's about the right place, maybe in number 10. Anyway, up to number 7, Justin. And I don't know about your pulse. Mine's racing. Number 7, we've got the Pittsburgh Steelers, who have dropped away in my power rankings. Still 2-1. But I look at them and I think, when are you going to hit a quarterback in any particular game, at any particular moment? It doesn't look like it's going to be happening soon. They've got that problem, I feel. But the good news for them is that Le'Veon Bell will be returning. Well, he's got one more game to serve and then he's back.
Yeah, he's on a 4-game suspension, so he should be back fairly soon. Man, what a bad loss. This is a team that to me, you know, if the score yesterday were reversed, we'd be talking about them as probably a top 3 team, you know. The offense is so dynamic. I think that, you know, D'Angelo Williams has played so well back there. And he's been perfect for him because he's a guy who, when he's healthy, is, I think, a top 15 back in the league. But it's, you know, you can't count on him to be healthy all year. So he's a great combination with Le'Veon Bell, who you can pretty much plan on being suspended at least once per year. So it's a good committee they have. Antonio Brown is one of the very, very best wide receivers in the league. Teams are scheming to take him away, as you should. But, I mean, man, what a bad loss this week. Here's a team that, you know, this might just be one blip in the radar. This might be something that kind of screws them up and has some lingering effects for a couple of weeks. So, you know, I still definitely a contender, but I'm going to keep an eye on them.
Yeah, I would agree with you. It threw me out considerably to see not only that they lost to Philadelphia, but how badly they lost to Philadelphia. And let's not take anything away from the Eagles. You know, we'll speak about them in a minute, so obviously they're quite high. But that was a great win for Philadelphia, and maybe they did a lot of things right. They certainly put a lot of pressure on Roethlisberger up the middle with Fletcher Cox, which I think Roethlisberger has never liked in his career. Well, no quarterback likes that, do they? I would say a worry for them, Shazier looked like he'd picked up an injury, and they cannot afford to lose him for any length of time. But yeah, let's have a look at Pittsburgh in a couple of weeks and see if there's any lingering effects from this very, very poor loss. Anyway, up to number 6, and I had to put the Eagles at number 6. Obviously, any NFC East rival. So it's always hard to put anybody up to number 6 from the NFC East if it isn't Washington. But I had to put them above Pittsburgh because of the absolute beatdown. And you've got to say, they look the best team in the NFC East at the moment. Long season. And who knows, Vince will have his down moments as a rookie, as all rookies do. But so far, so good. And can I just, before you say anything, Justin, I would just say Jim Schwartz, I called it in the off-season. That guy is an outstanding defensive coordinator.
He is. He's an absolutely terrific defensive coordinator. If Rex Ryan hadn't run him out of town, the Buffalo Bills would still be fielding one of the best defenses in the league, in my opinion.
Agreed.
So yeah, they're doing good stuff. I mean, they're 3-0, so I don't want to take much away from them. I think you still have them too high. I think that, you know, I don't believe in the team A beat team B, therefore team B above team A unless they beat teams like that whole crazy math. I think that, you know, you go back to the old example of if this team and the Steelers played a 10 game series, I think that the absolute worst loss for the Steelers would be this one, but the Steelers would probably win 7 of the other games. So I think the Steelers definitely should be above them. I think that, you know, they're 3-0, two of their wins are against absolute bottom teams. So I probably would have had them middle of the pack until this week. Beating the Steelers so convincingly definitely boosts them up a bunch. But I still think that they're the team in the top 10 that will drop the most with the loss next week, I think.
Yeah, I would agree. I have no problem at all sticking a team higher up and considerably dropping them or raising them up again. No problem at all, because I think that's okay in the NFL when you're in the early stages of the season. That's why they're up there at number 6. They have been, without doubt, probably the story of the season so far, apart from probably New England and the quarterback situation. So, well done, Eagles. See if you can keep up there at number 6 or get even higher. Up at number 5, up next, it's the Kansas City Chiefs, and they are 2-1. They've had, they've had that phenomenal performance against Fitzpatrick, who, if he wanted to throw his receivers under the bus, he'd probably miss. It was just awful, wasn't it? And Kansas City were just eating that up all day long. So is that who Kansas City are, or is that just because the Jets are just awful?
Yeah, you know, this is the Kansas City Chiefs team that I expected to see all offseason. This is what I've been kind of predicting. They were not this team for the first 2 weeks, and I was getting pretty concerned, and I was kind of ready to move on from them. But they finally were the team I expected. You know, the offense was safe but moved the ball effectively. The defense was absolutely terrific. So if they are this Chiefs team, then they are a top contender. If they're the team we saw the first couple weeks, they're not. So exactly who they are remains to be seen. I still think this is the true Kansas City Chiefs, though.
Yep, I would agree, and I think they're going to get Justin Houston back at some point, I believe. I hope so. And Jamal Charles will also come back, future Hall of Famer Jamal Charles, we should of course note. I agree with you. I think Kansas City will. I can see them being in the top 10 most of the season. Certainly, definitely a contender, but they're in a very, very difficult division. That's the one thing going against them. Up to number 4. Quickly approaching the top 3, Justin, but number 4, and brace yourself, man, number 4, the Seattle Seahawks, 2-1, and I have to say I was very impressed with Christian Michael this week. He seemed to take on the bulk of the running game. He looked terrific. That guy, I'd like a pint of what he's been drinking, because he was at Washington very briefly, and I don't think he got off the practice squad at Washington, which probably says more about Washington than it does Michael. But he looks great. But hey, tell me about Russell Wilson. And are you feeling a bit of a sort of twitch in your knee and your ankle this morning?
Yeah, I am icing my knee out of sympathy. Yeah, so Russell Wilson has a sprained MCL. He says he feels terrific, but of course he says stuff like that. He's probably pouring nano bubbles on it right now or something. Yeah, I mean, it's a concern. You know, that's two lower body injuries he's suffered in the early part of this year. So that's definitely concerning. With Russell Wilson, this is one of the very best teams in the league. By the end of the season, I think it'll be the best team in the league. But if he is hobbled, then or injured especially, then our goose is cooked. So we need him for sure.
What I do like, though, Justin, is that defense looks back to its best.
Yes, I think it would be very difficult to make the case that this is not the best defense in the league. I mean,
ooh.
You know, Neil, I will fight you right now. By almost every important metric, they're the best defense in the league. They're not, you know, slowing teams down. They're destroying them. you know, in these last couple of games, the only reason that the other teams have even scored a couple of field goals is because they've been put in really advantageous positions to start and needed like a first down to be in field goal range. So this defense right here, you know, the addition of Jaron Reed he's so good. I can't believe he was available in the second round. Shame on you, the rest of the NFL. Shame on you. And then Frank Clark, who we drafted last year, I knew was going to take a huge step forward this year. He is such a disruptive force. He is a monster. So rest of the NFL, good luck.
Yeah, it absolutely kills me, Justin. Washington were just so desperate for defensive line help. And this was one of the best drafts for defensive linemen in years and years. And we didn't take one until the fifth round. And hearing Jaron Reed playing so well, just terrible news for us.
You guys had two chances to draft him. Finally, the Seahawks are like, wait, seriously, nobody wants this guy? And so like we moved up because we're like, okay.
Yeah, it's just incredible. We'll quickly move on before I start crying. Up at number three, Justin, and I give a little gasp when you said it was the best defense in the league. And I would see your Seattle defense and raise you the Minnesota defense. 8 sacks, 3 interceptions, crushed the Panthers in Carolina. This was impressive, and I see a lot of similarities between your two teams, Minnesota and Seattle. And they're up at number three at the moment. Tell me why Seattle should be above them.
What metric do you want to use? Fewest yards per game? Fewest points per game? Fewest passing yards per game? I can do this all day, Neil.
Seattle's brilliant.
488 passing yards. There are players who do that in one game. This is through three games.
It's very impressive, but let's say a little bit of something about Minnesota. They are doing well, no?
Yeah, I'm sorry. You open the door, you start talking about defense. Yeah. It's hard to stop.
Yes, I'm very sorry.
The Seahawks have allowed 37 points. They scored that much last week. Like, what do you mean? So in terms of the Minnesota Vikings, I'm really interested to watch them. Obviously, you're absolutely nuts for ranking them above the Seahawks, and shame on you. But that defense really is very, very strong. It's very, very potent. And definitely in the conversation for the best unit in the league. And, you know, it's what's helping them beat these teams. And it's what's helping them weather the storm of losing Teddy Bridgewater. Teddy Bridgewater is an okay player, but not somebody that I'm super high on. And I don't know that Sam Bradford is necessarily a huge downgrade from him, as long as he stays healthy, which has been kind of the issue with him. Losing Adrian Peterson, though, that's huge. People talk about how, he wasn't all that effective these first 2 weeks. He's always terrible for, like, the first 3 weeks, and then he's the biggest monster in the NFL. So I had zero doubts that he was going to turn it on in a big, big way. If they can continue to play this good a defense, and McKinnon and Asiata can move the ball a little bit, and they can just rely on Bradford for the occasional third down, they can beat almost anybody. But they're not going to be able to overcome the teams that are both very strong on defense and have elite playmakers on offense. I'm not ready to say when the lights are about us that they're going to beat your top quarterback teams in the NFL. So this ranking to me is too high for them. But I still like them as an upper, you know, 6 or 7 team in the NFL.
Okay, Justin, I'm going to live on air. I'm going to swap them around. I'm going to put Seattle up to number 3. And I'm going to drop Minnesota as number 4. Pro Football Focus have just told me that Minnesota has the third best defense in the league, and Seattle has the second best defense in the league. So, surprisingly, Philadelphia is number 1. But there we go. So we'll move them up. Right, on to the top 2. And always clearly we know who the top 2 teams are. But in number 2, I've got the Denver Broncos. Now, I put the Denver Broncos at number 2 because I've been very impressed. Obviously, they're 3-0, playing some tough games to start their season. Simeon has looked, he looked serviceable and looked actually a little bit better this past week. And I would also say, we talked about Vic Beasley, who was drafted by the Atlanta Falcons earlier on and not having a great time of it. But Shane Ray gets a start with DeMarcus Ware's injury, gets 3 sacks, across from Vaughn Miller. And yeah, looked a bit of a player there, Justin.
Yeah, you know, they're so strong on that defensive line. And this is another defense that's definitely in that conversation for the best in the league. You know, their ability to bring pass rushers is awesome, especially when they get DeMarcus Ware back. The fact that they can rotate in, and they're not rotating in lesser guys, that they're rotating in really, really good pass rushers, it's going to be very difficult for other teams to deal with. And after that, they've got a very solid secondary. So they're very complete on that side of the ball. Offensively, Simeon's been just fine. You know, he's doing what you want out of him. He's been pretty impressive for an undrafted rookie quarterback, especially one who wasn't terrific necessarily in college. I think that later in the year, we'll see kind of like what we're talking about with Mariota, where, you know, the defenses figure him out a little bit. But at least for now, I definitely think they're one of the best units in the league.
Yeah, definitely. And you talk about Simeon's quarterback play. His quarterback play is much better than anything they had last year. So you could say that offense has improved. And with that defense, well, they're going to be in the running all the way to the end, I think. Okay, Justin, I'm terribly sorry to break it to you, but the New England Patriots are number one on my list. And as hard as I tried to knock them off the top, they get the number one ranking, primarily because this is a team who played pretty much the whole season without their best player, Gronkowski. And, yeah, the quarterback situation, huh? I mean, who's next? There's going to be. I mean, you and I are going to get called up, and we'll probably have an all-pro performance behind Bill Belichick and Josh McDaniels in that offense. Tell me why. Tell me, if you can, why the Patriots shouldn't be number one. And as they are number one, tell me why they're number one.
Well, they definitely should not be number one based on the talent that they put on the field. They absolutely should be number one based off of their head coach. So I'll be honest. You know, I've got no problem with them being number one right now. If Bill Belichick were traded to the San Francisco 49ers tomorrow, I would move the 49ers to number one on my power rankings. Like, that's how good of a job he's doing this year. It's ridiculous. So now Brissett is probably going to miss an injury, so they're going to be down to their fourth quarterback. And so I look at that, I think of this upcoming week, and I don't care. I could not care less that you know, Julian Edelman might play quarterback. I don't know. They're going to, you know, wheel out the ghost of Doug Flutie or something. Like, I don't care. They're going to be fine. They've got Bill Belichick. You know, he'll come up with a game plan. And, like, he's not the only one who's hurt. Gronk has yet to play this year. They're missing most of their offensive line. It doesn't matter. So, definitely having them at number one is logical to me. However, this is where I'm going to pump the brakes on the entire world. They're going to lose some games. They may not lose next week. You know, they may have every player back from injury and suspension and all this stuff, and they're still going to lose some games. As a matter of fact, they're probably going to lose a couple of games this year. On top of that, it's crazy as it sounds, I don't know that they're going to be all of a sudden go from the best team in the league to an infinitely better team once they get all these players back. You know, they've had great plans, things have gone well their way, but once they have all their players on the field, yeah, I still have them as a number one team, but I don't have them head and shoulders above the rest of the top contenders. I just don't think that's realistic, and that's just not how football works.
Yeah, no, absolutely agree with you there. I don't think they don't have a look of a team like the Panthers last year who looked like they were going to blow everybody off the face of the earth. They're winning games and they're winning them through great coaching. I would also say Josh McDaniels is surely worth a shout out and will be probably quite likely to be his last season as a offensive coordinator there. He must be getting another shot at head coaching, don't you think?
Yeah, I think so too. And I think that plenty of NFL head coaches, you know, kind of fizzled out in their first stint and then went on to great things in the second. Look at guys like Bill Belichick, you know. Seahawks aren't Pete Carroll's first stop. So for a lot of them, they kind of need that experience to see, like, wow, this is so different. I'm the CEO of this team. Like, I've got to worry about press conferences and, like, parking and things like that. And so, you know, once he's had some head coaching experience, then gone back to coordinating for a while and done such a good job, I think a team who needs a head coach really should give him a look, because I think there's a lot of potential for him to do an excellent job.
Yeah, totally agree. So congratulations, New England Patriots, number one in the first Next Fan Up Power Rankings. Justin, as we've just, I think we've scored a touchdown with those rankings, because they're absolutely spot on, as we've decided. I'm going to kick the extra point now, and my extra point for this week is to say, Terrell Pryor, man. I don't know if you saw what he did last night. I'll just read you his stats. He passed the ball 3 out of 5 for 35 yards. He rushed the ball 4 times for 21 yards and a touchdown. And he received, as a receiver, he had 8 catches for 144 yards. Now, it was the first time an NFL player had reached those yardage totals in passing, rushing, and receiving since Hall of Famer Frank Gifford, and no, I didn't see him play, did it for the New York Giants all the way back in 1959, the year you were born, Justin.
Yeah, I'm sure you didn't see him play. You were too busy studying in college then. it's incredibly impressive. I mean, so Terrell Pryor, and, you know, he hasn't had a very auspicious career, so maybe people don't realize this. He's probably the best athlete in the entire NFL, like, straight up. It's incredible. His size, his speed, how explosive he is, and just his talent. Like, you know, he was a quarterback until a couple of years ago, and now he's a really, really dynamic wide receiver for the Cleveland Browns of all teams. You know, so here's a guy who I almost wish he had gone into other sports, because it seems like football's maybe not exploiting his athleticism at best. I think he'll transition into a very good wide receiver. But, like, with his athletic ability, and I don't know what his best sport is, he probably could have been the best ever at some sport. Like, that's the kind of athlete he is. So he's so much fun to watch. And that's such an impressive, that's like an old school, like, yeah, like 1950s style, like, yeah. You know, playing both sides of the ball. You know, if they give him a chance, he probably would have had an interception, a couple of sacks, and, you know, a 50-yard field goal on top of it.
I think you're absolutely right. It was absolutely terrific. I know, you know, they didn't win the game, but to see a performance like that, yeah, you're absolutely right. This guy is, what a fabulous athlete. You can imagine him in the Olympics at the decathlon and just romping through and sort of sitting down and saying, right, what's next? Is it long jump next? Great. He's just incredible. And I wanted to just raise that and make a note of it, because it's not a great fantasy thing and all the rest of it, but that was just an unreal performance. And who doesn't like a Frank Gifford reference?
Kathy Lee.
True. There we go, Justin. I think we can wrap it up there, and next week we will be looking at the power rankings, and who knows, there may be quite a few changes with week 4 very close on the horizon.
I think you're absolutely right about that. Week 4 is probably going to prove us wrong in all sorts of places, and that's just fine.
Thanks very much, Justin. I look forward to speaking to you. Well, if not on Thursday, then certainly next week.
Sounds good, Neil.
All right, that's going to do it for our first Power Ranking episode. Before we go, I want to give a quick shout-out to our sponsor, BetDSI. That's BetDSI.com. Use the promo code FANUP10 to get a 10 free bucks with your first deposit. You also get a 100% bonus. Use BetDSI for all of your gambling needs. They're a top-rated company, been in the business for a very, very long time. They're easy. They pay the winnings fast. They have tremendous customer service. You can bet on the NFL, on other sports, on politics. If you saw the Monday night debate and decided to put your money down on somebody, that's the place to do it. So one more time, that's betdsi.com, promo code FANUP10. And with that, we'll turn to Jeff Fisher. There you have it.
Well, I think we learned today that, you know, this game is 4 quarters long.